I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Jack, what the f***?
It's two of your favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins podcast. It's your boy Chief Sut, live in effect with everybody's favorite guest, Mr. Ware. Mr. Ware, how you feeling today?
I'm good, man. It's been traveling this week. Still trying to get the memory of last week's failure out of my mind, but I'm excited to be here with you.
I'm excited too, man. I wish we could have a squad goals episode featuring YFinsYY as well. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter. But yeah, this week's been a weird week for kind of everybody. We've had these weird winter storms. I know he's got a lot of stuff going on over on the West Coast. I don't even want to talk about what was in the water on our sideline this weekend or what's going to be on the sideline for us this upcoming weekend. I guess I could say the only silver lining to all this, which doesn't even feel like a silver lining, is the retirements of Bill Belichick and Nick Saban.
Yeah.
But
well, is Belichick?
I'm not calling Belichick retirement.
Yeah. It seems like that. I don't know.
He wants to coach again, but it feels weird.
Yeah.
Him not being with New England, that's just weird. I thought I'd be more excited about it, but I kind of don't like it.
I'm not.
And,
because we talked about this. Mike Vrabel getting fired, which I think right now is the worst coaching move so far of the offseason. I just think that's a natural progression. He got inducted into their Hall of Fame. Right. Supposedly that's a reason he got fired. Their owner in Tennessee was upset with the way he handled it. I was like, what? He moves into there. Right.
Nice.
He brings his buddy Arthur Smith back, run the offense like he did in Tennessee. They draft Jaden Daniels, which scares the bejeebers out of me. And I already thought about this. Like Patriots job is a very desirable job. You cannot tell me I'm wrong. It's an elite franchise, obviously, based off the dynasty. They've got a number three pick. They've got the second most cap space. I am very concerned of what happens there. I don't know if it's going to happen in 1 year. I think we've still got a little window, but shoot, man. You know, they got a lot of repairing on offense, but they still were a top 10 defense, if I'm not mistaken, this year. Again.
And the personnel is still there defensively. Judon and all of them are still paid, and
Judon,
you know, they're always going to do what they
Judon
do.
They lost beginning of the year, so he didn't even play. And then think about the rookie who we faced in week two, Gonzalez, who looked nice, right? He put the shackles on our small guys. So, again, we're not pumping out the Patriots, but one guy we're leaving out here, respect to Pete Carroll, too. I know he's a West Coast guy, but he's another guy, man. Somebody brought up watching the news this morning. What about him to the Chargers? Used to coach USC.
I was going to ask you how you felt about that. Like, was it time for him to be done there?
It's a weird one. I see them really. I think Dan Quinn goes there.
Okay.
Right.
Keep it defensive, hard nose.
Yep.
Little bit gangster.
Familiarity was the DC there for successful Super Bowl teams. Knows. Was it John Schneider? Right. Says he's going to be an advisor here, Carroll. But I don't know how you're going to be an advisor to your GM when you work side. That's a weird dynamic.
I took that as he doesn't want to coach, but he wants to still get paid.
But his energy's so good, man. Like, out of the three guys we mentioned between sanctimonious Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and him, he's got easily the most energy. I mean, Saban seems like he's out in the dust. Respect to him, but I'm not going to give him any time to talk about
Saban. I know I could see it in his eyes. You noticed how before the season started and even a little bit into the first couple of weeks, Saban was doing a bunch of podcasts.
Yeah.
And it almost felt like
he's been very vocal, about things.
He was selling out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate NIL. I hate transfer portal. I hate all this crap. Yeah. It's all stupid. It's ruining the game. I keep telling y'all it's ruining the game.
Yeah.
Look at what it's doing. You got these kids going for a year and just leaving out like it's basketball, like they ruin their game.
I got to go home to Miss Judy to get myself Coca-Cola and oatmeal pie. And I'm just going to go in the sunset.
Dude, he's going to get some oatmeal pies and hit the golf course, baby. Do it.
Respect, though. Like, he literally is. He's the GOAT of
the best ever.
Yep, college football. And I still think I will stay on this hill. The way he left sucked. had the medical staff, made the right choice. I think if Drew Brees came and he stayed, I think New England has a lot less success. I don't know if we win a Super Bowl, but I sure know we got a couple playoff victories, and we ain't sitting here like on 22 years like we are right now. That's just my opinion.
I can see that argument.
They were good. They were good, man. Like, he had to deal with Ricky retiring, but then he brought in Ronnie. I mean, they had some players. They were not a bad team. They were just, I mean, Dante Culpepper was rough when he came here, you know, but.
I mean, he blew up every ligament in his knee.
I know. And so talented, too.
Just the clip of him saying, I'm not going to be the coach of Alabama. Yeah. I don't know why you're asking me. I've said it enough times, but. Yeah, obviously that one hurt for a while, but over the years, we've all gotten older. We've matured. We've just gotten over it. And the way he was talking about Tua and Minkah Fitzpatrick before that, and just seeing what kind of football factory he created over there, he's the man, dude. It's all good. I understand you wanting to not be around here, too, Nick. Our fans are pretty tough. Alabama's probably way chiller.
I don't even know if I want to be around here sometimes. You know what I mean? This week has been a dark week, man. It's been a dark week.
Let me tell you something, brother. That Monday morn when Ticketmaster sent me an email letting me know my event has been canceled. Ugh. It just made the already gray day, because it was gray and rainy outside physically.
Yeah.
It was gray and rainy inside my apartment and gray and rainy inside my heart.
Well,
because we let these come down to our crib and do this to us, bro.
Well, if there's any consolation, I had to get up for a flight to Dallas Monday morning. Not anything early, but we flew through a thunderstorm and then through tornado weather all the way to Dallas. I texted my wife saying, I love you if this is the end. And it didn't go through. And it didn't go through, Seth. But thankfully I made it. Easily one of the worst flights I've had. In my head, I thought, you know, maybe just going out, I won't have to watch whatever happens next week or any more Dolphins games, but... The Lord said, you know, you need to suffer more. So I am here. But tell me about what do you think went wrong with the Bills? rhetorical question, because everything always goes wrong against the Bills. But what do you think went wrong the most? Like, what upset? Why are you so upset about the game?
The first half, I watched the running game that I've always wanted. Obviously, if Raheem was healthy, that would be what I really always wanted. But my without Raheem perfect backfield situation is Devon just getting fed consistently. And then every so often we get spelled with some power runs from Jeff Wilson. And it was a whole bunch of that over and over again. And when we were sticking to that, we were moving the ball down the field.
We had 107 rushing yards in the first half as a team.
We were hitting them with moves they hadn't seen before. That little, we were calling it the freeze step in the group chat, because he literally like freezes with one step and then almost pitches it the other way. It's like to almost lure them in with misdirection without using the running back's misdirection. It's just like another level of thinking. And it was working. And yes, there was they would try to do it one play, two plays in a row. And it was like, all right, dude, like second time they were almost ready for it because they got caught slipping the first time. But if you just spread that out a little bit more, or I don't know, maybe did it at all in the second half, I wouldn't be feeling like this. But instead, they just abandoned all of it.
Yeah.
It just became Chuck City, and just like Tyreek clearly was not himself. Mm-hmm. I believe Cedric Wilson played significantly more snaps than him, which that should never happen. But if that's happening, that's telling me he physically can't go. So if he physically can't go, don't play. Or catch the ball the few times that it is thrown to you and get down and get out.
Yeah.
But he would drop a ball and then need to take a playoff and then two of those an interception.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, you're in, you're out. When you're there, I mean, I agree with you, though.
That's why I haven't wanted Waddle the last couple weeks, for the record. I'm like, dude, I know him. He always comes back.
Yeah, and he's
too soon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the running game, I mean, you know, I'm a big proponent of run the ducking ball. But with that said, it's just frustrating. You know, we play a really, honestly, I think an inspired defensive game. I was very impressed against the odds. One of the better games we've had against Josh Allen. Two early interceptions. We couldn't really capitalize. until the second one. And then we had a, you know, 11 play, 80 yard drive. That's six minutes, 20 seconds. That's the type of stuff where it's like, if we're going to win anything in the playoffs, you got to do. But then, you know, like we always seem to do, we let up a touchdown and touchdown that that's arguably say was extremely lucky. What we found out yesterday may have actually should have been called back due to offensive linemen down the field of play. But
yep.
And we had two of those called on us. So, again, you know, won't say that's what caused the game, but definitely frustrating. Just a lucky fluke play there. Then we respond. I love the way we respond with kind of mixing it up, quick passes. I thought Tua was distributing the ball. I thought he played really well in the first half. Outside of that pick early, which just seems to me he premeditated, let's throw the deep ball, when if you really look at it, I thought he had A-chain. I think a hard pump, again, I don't remember what the O-line situation was, but a hard pump selling Tyreek and a dump off to A-chain, fudge, man. I think that really could have done wonders on that, but we end the half with that stellar stop by Baker. Probably play of his career. I mean, literally dislocated his wrist, I think, because of that, and broke a bone out for the season. Devastating. But, I mean, to come back and make a play like that, you know I'm pretty critical of him. But he's been an ultimate Dolphin for his career, and I would like to see it continue regardless. So,
Amen, brother, amen.
And then we force him to punt at half because I think we all said, okay, 14-7, right? They get ball, which I hate, you know, I always like getting ball at half. And then we make them punt, and I'm like, okay, like,
showing up.
Right? Like, that's, you know.
Here they are.
In my opinion,
okay, Vic, make your money.
I thought if you could get the game to even 10 points with the way that Josh was pressing early, I thought it may have, you know, continued. But then we go and we just shit on ourselves with 3 plays, 9 yards, punt the ball. I think that was the one Braxton was, is that the one Braxton was, yeah, short on.
Tackled
yeah,
short.
Like by a yard. And that's where, again, it's like, I'm going to stand on the hill that number three receiver may be one of the biggest needs on our team. And I'm not saying you invest a first round pick, but nobody stepped up. Sed's had moments, but I think we can say safely he's, for his pay grade, he has not done the amount in the receiving game. Good blocker, though.
I mean, Braxton Berrios, you're a punt returner, kick returner.
Yeah.
Your job is to make one guy miss basically every time you touch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't make that one guy miss, or at least be a receiver and be mindful of where the sticks are and run at least to the sticks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I do think
run the route through the first down. That way that doesn't happen and you don't even have to make him miss.
Which is surprising.
I know our offense is timing and all that other stuff. Well, okay. All you can, like, just so frustrating.
And then Wilkins makes the play, which I think he had probably one of his best games. I think everybody that believes he needs to get paid, I think, that was an exclamation point, stripping Josh. That it just an elite performance from him. And then you do nothing again. Like legitimately, penalty. Play reversed. Tyreek Hill short again. While I would say Tua underthrew it a little bit, he's still gonna make those plays, man. Like the drops, the critical errors that he's had in big games, and that we're not even talking about the ones as we approach the end of the game yet. So that call gets reversed. Yeah. Throw an incompletion, another penalty, downfield blindside block, and then we just, you know, it's second and 30. You know what's gonna happen then, and then we punt the ball back. Actually, a great punt by Jake Bailey, but I'm gonna honestly say he outpunted in coverage. If you look at the way it's set up, there's nobody down there. I think they were shocked he could even get it over 50 yards. Punted at 58 in the air, and they go 96-yard touchdown?
right up the middle,
oh,
right down somebody's lane.
God, and we've said it, like, special teams has just been so frustrating. Like, we kicked the ball to the Ravens last week when the year before they returned, Howes went on us. Who are an elite special teams unit. Justice Hill goes, 75 gosh darn yards, and they're set up. And this week we punt return. Like, you can't make it up. And then to respond, you punt. So far through 3 drives to start the second half when you have the division on the line and you literally have had your defense play a stellar game, only give up 7 points, you have had 10 plays for 21 yards. And we're, you know.
Now, what do you? There has to be some sort of correlation to why Tyreek drops and Tua gets too hype. Are they just succumbing to the pressure, or are they all getting themselves a little bit too hyped up in the locker room? What do you think it is?
I think it comes down to, number one, Tua is a trust guy as a quarterback, and I think that comes to his timing and the way he plays the game. I think he's got immense trust in Tyreek and Waddle. Almost borderline too much, but we'll save that for another day. I think you hit the nail on the head. Tyreek's body is catching up to him this year. I'm not saying that's a long-term thing. We'll see. He is smaller, but he's had ankle, knee, thigh. I mean, he's been banged up, let's be honest, and he's a warrior. I'll give him that. I think concentration from him is a big thing where I'd like to see less talk and just get out there and do it, man. Like, no offense. Like, I don't want to. Yeah. He's been quiet this week, which I like. I haven't heard, I owe you, man, or, you know, I'm going back to KC. I think he knows what's happening. But then, moreover, I think McDaniel's offense is almost force-feeding these guys to a point it's detrimental. But again, there's still people open underneath, which then leads me to believe, is it on two? I think it's a myriad of all of them, kind of. But I do think that needs to be corrected in the offseason. And I think no trust in a number three wide receiver, nobody really stepping up when Waddle's been out. When Tyreek was out against the Jets, I mean, Waddle balled, man. He had a great game. Durham's been what he's maxed out to what Durham can do, is my opinion. I think Durham's doing a great job, but I don't know. I'm frustrated because it's so obvious to me that the running game has been successful, and I would honestly rather go, you know, two runs in a good pass play, set yourself up for third and short. I'm frustrated, but I think A-Chan had another great game. He's a stud. I think he broke the record for yards per carry. Just insane. But there's not much to say. I don't think the Bills are extremely well coached defense. They have our number. I'm not going to hide from that anymore. We even forced Josh into playing one of his worst games, you know, against us, and we still couldn't beat him.
Yeah, well, worst games against us was only 8 incompletions, and like.
Oh yeah, I mean the it's, interceptions.
It's the box score is just like.
But the turnovers. If you get him to do 3 turnovers, you should win. And majority of teams that have done that have won against him, including the Jets, right? Including, you know, the Broncos, the Giants, teams we've beaten badly. So
we should have won. We won the turnover battle.
Yep.
We did so many things right. And I know everyone wants to lean on the injuries, but it was still only a 7-point game with the ball in our hands driving.
Yep. And then you've got
you just cannot throw that ball on second down.
Agreed.
I don't care about Chase Claypool's lazy route.
Yep.
I don't care about none of that.
You need to identify.
Skip that thing at his feet. You need throw it wherever you want, but do not. You have to live to see third down.
I agree. So
we've thrown touchdowns on fourth. Yeah. But like,
I'll say this. Number one, yes, you're not wrong. But you need to identify Claypool in the huddle. You need to identify that he's been a liability since he's been here. Let's be honest, right? He dropped an easy touchdown the week before against the Ravens in the end zone.
But he's a trust guy, and he must have had a good week of practice, so I trust him.
Don't make the throw, but ID him in the huddle that Tyreek went out right after him. Mind you, had a drop the play before, and the drive before had a drop that I, looking back on it, he had the seam to house it. So, again, I'm not trying to defend Tua because I think the narrative is what the narrative is. Is he a top five QB to me? No. He has the potential to play that way. But on a all talent, all things considered, can you elevate your teammates? No. He is not a Lamar. He is not a Pat. He's not a Josh, and I'm not sure with Joe's injuries, but when Joe's at his best, he's not a Joe. I think he lives comfortably in the Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, lack of athleticism aside, but way better passer than Hurts. I think Herbert's there. I think Love's there. That's the category. I think he's in between the 6 to 12 category of a NFL quarterback, and that's I'm not saying he couldn't get better than that, but that's where I think he sits right now. limitation show is what it is.
What pushes him over that?
I don't. I think it's development of taking. I think it's losing some of the maverick gunslinger, which I love at times. It's kind of a devil's sword. But the one thing I respected about an older Manning and an older Brady is, and I don't even think Brady, besides with Moss and Welker, was he that aggressive of a thrower. But they just, it was just, you know, death by paper cuts. And I think Drew Brees did great at that too. And I think we can do better at that. I think it comes down to scheming the offense differently. I think we need to become even more of a run team, similar to San Francisco. That's going to come with health and continued, you know, improved O-line play. But yeah, man, I just think he's got all the things you like, but when it gets to December, the narrative is, and it's facts, he's 10-10 as a quarterback. He's amazing in September and October. He has some good Novembers, has some struggles in Novembers. But December to be 10-10, you know, and we sit here and criticize Herbert all the time, but I've watched four times this year. Tua has had an opportunity to go win the game, and not all of them have been directly his fault, but he hasn't done it. So
the pressure, man.
I think
we're all starting to see it.
I think the pressure's building, but I also think there's, you know, health has been awful, but I'm not, every team's injured. So maybe not to our level on defense, but Tua doesn't play defense. He's had opportunity to win games, and when you're averaging 16.5 points against teams with over a 500 record, which is only 2 points better than the lowly Jets against winning record teams, that's something to be said. So I hope he internalizes whatever happened this week, and I hope they come with a good game plan. I don't really have much more to say about the Bills. I think the one thing, my wife's a Bills fan. Everybody who, you know, is in our group chat knows it. She's been happy. She pretty much calls Miami, you know, Hard Rock Stadium, you know, the Bills' second home now. And I have to say, I don't disagree with her. They've got our number, and I hope it changes. So,
was it you that put that stat with Tua's first half passing yardage and all of those metrics and his second half ones?
Yeah.
So the Bills can have our number all they want. I think our team has a really bad habit of, one, taking our foot off the gas in the second half, and that's on McDaniel. Mm-hmm. I think, too, it's partially on Tua for having – how do you go from 20 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in the first half? That's how you look every first half. You look like that's what your ratio would be.
Yeah.
And then in the second half,
I got it here.
9 touchdowns to 8 picks?
So his advanced splits for this year. So first half, he's completing 72.7% of throws. That's absurd. I think that borderline record pace. 2,800 yards, nearly 2,900 yards, 20 TDs to 6 interceptions, a 112 rating, 12 sacks. So we'll factor the sacks in. Is he getting sacked more? In the second half, he drops 8 percentage points in completion to 64.5. He's got only 1,747 yards, 1,100 yards less in the second half. And then he has 9 TDs. 8 picks.
That's a different quarterback, bro. That's a different
player.
He's
only been sacked 5 more times in the second half, so I can't sit here and say the O-line's letting him down. So, yeah.
Well, it's the running backs, too.
Well, it's the...
The running backs all have... I'm sure if we put up their stats, whether it's A-Train, Heem, maybe in our wins, yes, their second halves are pretty good. But for the most part, we complain every week that we give up on the run in the second half. So what exactly are we ever doing in these second halves? It seems like we're just going 3 and out if we're
20 runs total last week, which we know 4 came in the second half. So, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, 4. We got boat raced the week before. So it's tough, but we still ran the ball 25 times for 154 yards, 6.2 yards a clip against Baltimore.
Dang.
You know, like it's just like it's pretty obvious to me like what we need to do.
Yeah, they both averaged over 5 yards a clip this
carry.
Game.
So when you it seems like we've said that 25 carry number, and it's going to have to be this coming week, but end of the day, we're 11-6. We're 2 games better than we finished last year. I think last year it was pretty easy with our quarterback being out to kind of feel gracious we got to 9-8. I think just the way that we lost a 3-game division lead, it's sour grapes right now. As much I don't have like that feeling of it's been a really fun season, but this ending has just been, you know, like the watching the end of Killing of a Sacred Deer. You know, it's like that, man.
Do you think going down to Kansas City this weekend is the end of the season for sure? The finale of Hard Knocks, if you will?
Oh, man, I don't know. I want us to win bad because I think it would mean a lot to this franchise, and I think anything leaving the playoffs without a victory is kind of not really what was expected, as especially after our start. I think the weather plays into our favor almost more than it hurts us. Which most people may think I'm f-ing crazy for that. Sorry for the language, but I think it's going to take away from a lot of what makes Pat successful with the scramble drills and just knowing the elements. And I think it hopefully forces McDaniel to do what I think we're best at right now, which is running the ball. And what Kansas City on defense struggles with, being 18th in the league in rushing defense. So I want us to win. I hope we do. But then you got to go to Baltimore more than likely. hey man, like, all right, cool. Like, what's our consolation prize? Oh, go back to the House of Pain.
Let's go back to the bank.
With two less premier pass rushers and definitely not your best linebacker back. You know, no worries. Oh yeah,
and Lamar with a week in the hot tub.
But the thing is, man, there's you know, playoff Lamar has not been. You know, I'm actually surprised not more people talk about it, because he's only got one win in the playoffs in his career. One. And he's an MVP. So I
mean, he also won that MVP like his second
year starting. And he's getting another one this year. He has to. Yeah. People are arguing about Josh getting that.
You're crazy. They want to give it to that boy 17 so damn bad.
Like, no offense, man. Like, what can you not say?
Nah, man, it's Lamar.
Yeah.
Look at the records. Yeah. Look at the stats. Get out of my face. Who's the one seed? Who's the two seed, bro?
Yeah.
But either which way.
Let's go.
We're playing against the three seed. Yeah, and it's going to be.
So, Kansas City start off with their 11-6. So, we have identical records. Kind of feels like it. Yeah, but it kind of feels like both franchises are kind of, despite, you know, 11-6, you tell me at the beginning of the year, you tell me, which I think you guys hit it on the – your episode last week was awesome, by the way. I need to tell you that. But I think it was Trump who said it, but he's like, if I were to tell you back in 2019 when we were at our lowest that we'd have back-to-back playoff seasons, you know, you're going to say you'd be unhappy. And I was like, I really thought about that. I'm like, man, that's a good way to think about things. But I do feel like Kansas City's at such a high level that 11-6 to them, the three seed, right, struggling on offense. I don't know like how they feel about anything. But we lost to them earlier this year, 21-14 game. We all know we had an opportunity to tie it. Seems to be the theme, you know, and why we're frustrated with, you know, our offense and our quarterback in late situations. But
and how many carries did we have that game? I believe it was just about 20.
Yep. So 20, that five carry difference really seems to just set up, I think, overall success for our team.
Absolutely.
If I'm not mistaken, we did not have Devon Achane for that game, which
21 carries.
Yep. We did not have Achane. Mostert had 85 yards, 7.1 average, and one TD. The fact that he's not getting 17 to 20 carries is borderline. And then behind him,
that needs to be 100.
Behind him, everybody had two carries, including Tua, who had two carries, which obviously scramble drills. Waddle and Tyreek did probably some of their most marginal games, 42 yards, 62 yards. The Tyreek fumble was very costly. I think that honestly is the difference in the game.
7 points.
Yep. Connor Williams, you know, snapped to the right, missed opportunity for Tua to catch it. Cedric Wilson, miscommunication on the open route where Tua threw him on a sideline, and he had a go route, if I'm not mistaken, for an easy walk-in. But let's talk about some silver linings since then, since it's been tough for us. But they are 4-4 since they beat us in week 9. So they are a 500 team. Every win that they have had since that matchup has been against a backup QB.
Ooh, fun fact.
Las Vegas Raiders, Aiden O'Connell. They beat him and also lost to him.
Aiden's the starter.
Yep. Well, he got benched, but I think, you know, I think we –
And Jimmy G was technically the starter, and then he got benched for O'Connell.
The way that the NFL works, it's who's the most paid quarterback on your team. It's not who's playing the most. So
Straight up.
Like, you're not telling me Jared Stidham's a starter, man. Russ is still the starter. It's just a financial Anyway, Jake Browning for the Bengals beat them. Barely. Struggle game, right? Beat Easton Stick – the hockey stick for the Chargers.
Actually,
I don't even know if Easton Stick played last week for the Chargers. I didn't even watch that game, but I'm just going to say he did. And then he beat Bailey Zappi for the Pats.
Sick.
So
who's also the starter, but yeah, not the first round. What was Bailey Zappi, a seventh rounder or undrafted or something?
Yeah, he was late round or something like that. But again, and then the biggest thing to me is that Arrowhead's been told is the toughest place to play in football. I am definitely not antagonizing that statement, but you are what the facts say. And this year they are 4-4 in Arrowhead, which is a 500 team. But this has the potential to be the third coldest game in the record of the NFL that dates back over 65 to 70 years.
Since the merger.
So as of right now, the coldest game is at -13 in 1967. Green Bay versus Dallas in Green Bay. That was the NFL championship. That was the year before the Super Bowl. They played a Super Bowl level game at -13 degrees. We were not even on the moon at that point. -9 degrees in 1981, San Diego had to go to Cincinnati. In 2015, Seattle had to go to Minnesota. If you remember, that was the years that Minnesota was playing at Gopher Stadium because their dome like imploded, if you remember that.
Right, from those storms. Yeah, it was like tornadoes.
Yep, so Pete Carroll and the boys went in and won a 10-9 game at -6 degrees in 2015.
Fly Alpha, right? Pete Carroll.
Fucking game, Petey boy. And then
it's my guy.
My favorite game that I feel like this has the potential to mirror is the 2007 NFC Championship, where Eli Manning and the Giants went and upset Brett Favre in the Packers. Kind of gives me that feel. So -1 degrees. Mm. Reason I say that, the Giants used Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs over 36 total carries, and the Packers decided to throw the ball majority of the time and only ran the ball 17 times. So.
Oh, no, that's not going to work.
That ain't going to work. So, you know. Favre at that point was obviously a legend. Pat Mahomes is becoming a legend, albeit probably his toughest season to date. Would you say like just looks like it was a struggle week in, week out?
This was the ugliest Pat Mahomes season we've seen.
Yeah,
because you got to think almost every every other year as a starter for him, he's made an AFC Championship run.
Yep.
So like,
and we had a chance. We had a chance to see him play on the road for the first time. There's still a chance if we win this game, he can exit the playoffs and still have never played a road playoff game in his career, which is just honestly, I love stats and that's
what
just,
a stat.
Yeah, dude, that's just baller. But
that's just stat.
But even in
we could have done it. Just beat Will Levis. All you had to do was beat Will Levis. That's it.
It's literally that game will haunt me. And then when Vrabel moves up to New England and he haunts us for the next decade, it's gonna haunt me.
No, I'm gonna handle that one myself. I'm gonna tell
Flores,
you hard again.
I need Flores up there so we can beat that ass. 67% completion percentage for Patty. 4,200 yards, a little bit under. 7 yards of completion. 27 TDs. 14 picks. Yeah, if that's a bad year, sign me up. But still, not his level of play. Didn't even break, the 100 QB rating. Stat-wise, Tua had a better season than him. Do I think Tua is a better quarterback than him? No, I do not. But I do think he has the potential to outplay him, given things go in his favor and he plays an efficient game. I think you love Papa. Yeah. You love Pa Pacheco. I hate Pa Pacheco, but you love Pa Pacheco.
That's my dude. We have the same. Well, we come from the same. Trainer, dude, downline.
Bro, when he gets open field, that man runs so weird. It's like a galloping horse. Like he
wants to hurt.
He has no breakaway speed, but man, he runs physical. 935 yards this year, 4.6 a clip, 7 TDs. He catches the ball too. He's got 245 yards, 2 TDs in the pass game. He was effective. He was effective against us. He had 16 carries, 66 yards in week 9. No touchdowns. Pat had 105 rating for what it's worth, but only 185 passing yards for Pat Mahomes. You do that again, man, you got to win. Like, you got to win.
You got to win off that the first time, and, but we're not going to, you know, dwell on the past and all that. It was
14 yards for Travis Kelce, 3 catches. Like, you're going to you tell me that and you just take away the score and you're like, predict the score. I would have said like 27-10 Dolphins. Like, right? Like,
that's on the offense, brother.
Yeah.
You held them to 14 defense points. Technically held them to 14 points. Yep. And then offense gave up 7 and then couldn't score 2 more times while abandoning the run.
Yep.
Just so many bad things. Udonis, I hear you, man. Give me a minute. This dog is so needy. It's ridiculous.
Mine too.
Sorry to all the listeners out there, but if you have a dog, they will bang on their bowl when they want something. Like, you don't hear them.
It's feeding time. Rashee Rice is nice. He's had a really good rookie year. Like, a lot of people talk about Zay Flowers, but Rice has outpaced him in all stats. He had that one touch.
He's solid.
He is. Like, he's a good player. He's like their one receiver. The rest of their receivers, man, are tough. But I wouldn't be afraid to take, Ramsey and Shadow Rice. I would love to see the same strategy against Kelce, but I think you and I know Elliott is a question mark. Holland's a question mark. Even if Holland's playing, he's pulling himself out of plays in half of games because his knees don't feel right.
Which is just chill, dude.
Which is, you know, again, we talk about the injuries, but that, again, all pro level player right there. Had he finished the year, I think he would have made it. Those are two tough losses. Brandon Jones is, God, man, he's just been frustrating this year. He's made a couple plays here and there. He plays hard, but just reckless. So hopefully, you know, our secondary communication is really what's going to come down to it. Their O-line, in my opinion, they have the best interior O-line in the NFL. Eagles are probably can throw a hat in that ring right behind them, but if you've got Creed Humphrey, which is it's going to probably be one of our draft favorites. We'll talk about 20 years from now when he's in the Hall of Fame. Joe Thuney and then Trey Smith. Like, I think all those guys graded out in the 90s PFF ratings.
Yeah, they did.
So, but.
And they've played a lot of snaps.
And they've had
all those dudes are thugs.
Yeah, but they've had some games where they've been susceptible. The best thing I can say is with our ailing defense, the strongest part of our defense is what those two defensive tackles are doing. To have two guys, I don't know if Christian did he hit the 10 sack total set or was he at 9.5? Like what was his official end?
I'll check because I started to stop using PFF stats because I don't trust them anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason, they don't like do things properly.
Hold on. Okay, so final sack stats for us via ESPN. 11 for Chubb,
who's he's got 9 on the dot.
So 9, but like in my opinion, like 10 sacks for an interior D lineman is almost like 20 for an edge. So that's to say Christian, you know, you put him on the edge, he's a 15 to 18 sack guy. And what he's done this year, I think those two guys, Steelers already said he's not wearing sleeves. Absolute savage, love that attitude. But they're the key right there. If they can at least stalemate the battle, and because their edge tackles, Juwan Taylor, who's a false start liability, hasn't had an amazing year, and then Donovan Smith's been hurt. He's questionable coming into the game, and Wanya Morris, the backup, who's been up and down, has not practiced with a concussion. I know we've got 3 new guys off the street, but we've got over 250 sacks career from those guys. Hopefully they can help.
Yeah, and it's really going to come down to both interior offensive lines versus both interior defensive lines. Because, yes, we have Christian Wilkins and we have Sealer, and Raekwon's going to obviously get some work this week. But Chris Jones is a problem.
And
we're going to have to hold that up with Liam.
And we had Connor Williams last time, who really played a great game against Jones. And they moved Jones around, so... The best thing is Rob Hunt came back last week. He finished the game. He was graded as our best O-lineman. Teron has been playing better as of late, where even some of the games early in the season, I don't even think he was playing better than Lamb. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jackson's been physical, but again, he still has his moments where he can, you know, have a bad game. Obviously don't think he played his best the past couple weeks, but I think, you know, we'll see. Rob Jones moving into left guard. It was is the guy of all the options I wanted to happen. I was happy to see Lester slide into a backup role on the bench, but
Get off my dog, bro.
I know. But I think, you know, if those guys, you're right. Defensively, there's not much you can't say about their team. They're very good. They're very young. They're very fast. What they've been able to replenish when they traded Tyreek with all those picks on defense, it's impressive, man. Like, they've got fifth and sixth round guys who are getting, you know, chunk snaps and performing. So you got to like what they've done as an organization from a defense. Similar to us, they don't have like a sack guru. They're kind of more quantity than, you know, forcing it to one guy. Jones and Karlaftis both have 10.5. So Jones, I think we think a lot of Sealer and Wilkins, but I think Jones is a category above them. Put him right below like the Aaron Donald, Dexter Lawrence, Quinnen Williams kind of. You know, he's probably right in that category with those guys, but below Aaron.
And then Christian's a couple noses below them, but he keeps making plays like he made last week and just snatching the ball from people. That's what it takes to get you to that next level.
He's completely like everything I've criticized him about, you know, just made me eat about it. And I'm cool with it. I'll eat.
Yeah.
What I will say is it's going to be an interesting offseason with money. The only bright line, and I know you're going to hate me when I say this, but let's just try to find out if there is a world where he does go to another team. Based off of our cap situation, I don't think we're making any drastic signings this year, more managing money and extending folks. You will probably get a high-level comp pick from that, which is something we never see because we're so active in free agency. And moreover, this is a very strong draft for interior defensive linemen, including guys that, in my opinion, if you were to lose him, I would go the route of finding a true nose tackle. But again, that's a long road. I don't want to lose him. He's the heartbeat of the defense.
Yeah.
He's performed. I think he's worth the money. But he's got to have a good game. I think our defenses are similar. They've got 57 sacks. We've got 56. That's second and third overall in the league. I will say their linebackers being healthy is obviously an added benefit. And they've got the rangy, talented linebackers, a la the Bills, a la the Ravens, that have shut down the middle of the field and hurt us. Nick Bolton didn't play us in week 9. He arguably was the MVP of the Super Bowl last year, and he's a fantastic linebacker. Willie Gay is an athlete, an almost safety-level athlete playing linebacker, and the white Drew Tranquil from his, you know, Chargers game last year seems to play really well against us. So looking at Tua, find a way to beat these guys, man. If they're taking away the middle of the field, that means the flats are open. Use that.
Right.
Like, I don't know how much else to say. A dump off to any one of our three backs for 4 to 6 yards is much better than a forced 15-yard dig route into triple coverage. Just do it. Like, take what you, and honestly, I don't think he's going to have a choice based off the wind and the elements this week. I think you're going to see a lot of screens to the receivers.
Yep.
I would love to see some play action boots if you get the running game going. I'm eliminating all those touch unblocked defensive end, you know, let them in and try to juke
Can't
them out.
Do it.
No, you know, use Wilson and Mostert inside the tackles and supplement Achan on the outside if you need to. This needs to be a very simplified game plan.
So you're on the boat that no matter what, this weather is going to have a major, major effect on how the game's played.
This isn't like the players have said, the worst thing they hate is rain. Then they hate superior cold. Snow is not that bad when it comes to like a quarterback throwing the ball. They've actually come out and said that. This is arguably like there's a national weather advisory from the city of Kansas City for people not to leave their homes the whole day on Saturday, which We'll go back.
So why wouldn't they move the game indoors then?
They're saying it's too short a notice. I'm like, they've known about this all week. It's only getting worse. So
they've known since Sunday.
I mean, don't be crazy. Don't be, you know, hopefully it gets even worse and worse to the point they can't even open the doors of the stadium. Crap. Hopefully they can't even open the doors of the stadium. They got to thaw it out. But, yeah, man, I do think it's going to have an effect. I just don't think you're going to see a lot of shot plays, which I don't think you're going to see anyway, because I think they've got a top-notch secondary. Ladarius Snead isn't talked about enough, and he's a true shutdown corner.
You're not taking him over the top most of the time anyway.
And they know Tyreek. They play him well. They're physical. But I think getting Waddle back, I think Waddle's the X factor. I think if he's even 85% and can give us 50 yards in the receiving game, that will help us. And it's hurt us without having him the last 2 weeks. I think anybody knows that. I don't think it makes up for 37 points at Baltimore, but I do think maybe last week it maybe would have given us an opportunity to put 3 points up in the second half just to give us a little breathing room. But we're not talking about that. I'm concerned about the weather. I think my biggest concerns are our defensive depth. We're obviously shattered. But I was very impressed with the guys they brought in this week who are, you know, gamers. Justin Houston's got a reason for this game, former Chief. Bruce Irvin has played in the AFC West multiple years in his career. He knows Pat Mahomes. Mel Ingram played for the Chiefs a couple years ago, right? Like, there's guys there that they've got a reason to play hard. I don't think they just jumped in to get, you know.
No.
I don't, you know, I think they know we're a team that's talented but is on the ropes and maybe they can bring something to it. So they're all veterans. They know what they're doing. I think we talked about
it. They want a ring.
Yeah. I would honestly, it seems to me that Vic still doesn't trust Ogba a lot, you know, because you saw Mel Ingram playing more than him the past couple weeks, despite Ogba being on the team all year. I would let Mel and Ogba go to work against Donovan Smith or whoever plays left tackle. And then I would start Justin Houston, despite being 37. He had 4 sacks on Carolina this year before he, you know, got cut to find a competitor.
For real.
Right? And, you know, he knows what he's doing. I think his veteran presence against Jawan Taylor, who struggled. Yeah, that's not that bad of a D-line considering. What I'm really concerned.
It's really not.
It's not. It's like 18th in the league, 19th. Like,
it is sketchy. I will say it is sketchy.
Yeah,
I've
seen teams win with less, you know. But I don't know, man. What else? Game plan. More just about us. Like I think Vic's coached some good defenses the last few weeks. I don't really blame the Ravens game on Vic. Like I don't. I just think Monken was in his bag, man. And I think the Ravens are on a heater right now. Not saying they can't catch themselves, but they just got our ass kicked that game. Last week, I thought it was an inspired defensive performance. It was a good strategy. Concerned if we do go down another linebacker, does that force Channing Tindall in a game who has never seen the field?
It's getting there.
Right? Like, you know, show me something, Channing, right? If he does get in, but, yeah, I and then confidence. I haven't watched this week's Hard Knocks. I'm sure I'll wake up early tomorrow morning and force myself some pain to watch it. But
yeah, maybe.
I do think the narrative is becoming concrete fact at this point that we're a soft ass team. We're weak when it comes to December and playoff level football, and they don't believe in their ability to finish against quality teams. It stinks because the Cowboys game was really an opportunity to say that, but then to follow that up with 2 back-to-back weeks, which just seems to be the theme, reminds me a lot of the year we had that miracle game against the Patriots that gave us a little hope, and then we just shot ourselves in the foot, you know, right the 2 weeks after to miss the playoffs completely. So thankfully we made it. We've got a shot. What are you concerned about?
I'm concerned that we're a team that offensively lives and dies by the big plays in the passing game. Mm-hmm. We've lost multiple games this year because other teams have the ability to take that from us. And that's not going to be there this week. I keep trying to tell myself, yeah, it's going to be cold. Yeah, it might snow, but, you know, it snowed before and people had good passing games. Yeah, you know, it snowed before and people
caught deep balls and go balls and defenders fall and you get easy ones. So, I mean, maybe if you do a couple slants here and there just to keep them honest, but I think our splash plays are going to have to come in the run game. And I think, Coach McDaniel, if you're listening, please, bro, we need at least 30-plus touches between, I don't care if it's Heme, A-Train, and Jeff, or just Heme and A-Train, or whatever you want to do.
17 touches for A-Train, 15 for Raheem, and 6-7 for Wilson. Boom.
If you remember, last year in the looked pretty cold game in Buffalo, snowy, it's not our favorable conditions, Heme balled out.
Yeah, but that's I'm just going to let you just break it down for you. There's still a 30-degree index difference between those games. It was 20 to – I know. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Florida boy. What is the coldest weather you have ever experienced in your life? Like, what, like that you know your body was outside for at least significant time where you felt the cold. Like, what,
yeah.
Cold exposure.
Utah.
Okay.
It was like 22, 23.
So I was telling you earlier, when 2017, I was in Milwaukee for a job trip, and we were getting ready to leave that morning. And like, you know, when the locals aren't outside, that you know it's cold. It was -30 with the wind chill, and I threw a cup of water outside, and it instantaneously turned to like frost and snow. Almost to the point where 5-degree difference, the airplanes were actually going to be forced to be grounded because they would freeze like in the air. So yeah, it was like, whoa. Yeah, so you're talking, that's, you know, obviously the most extreme level. Right now we're trending at -5 to -8 with the chill. So this is day after tomorrow level weather. So it will be a great story if we can do it, awesome story.
The Florida team does that.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. We do it. I am going to be the biggest Mason Rudolph Steeler fan you have seen on Sunday, because if they can pull that off, we don't have to go to Baltimore. We would go face the winner of Cleveland or Houston. So there is still a chance we can leave Baltimore a couple of weeks down the road if Buffalo f***s the bet against Pittsburgh.
I'm rooting for Mason Rudolph either way.
Yeah, you know?
Because I usually don't. He tried my dog, Miles Garrett.
Definitely uses a hard N word. You know he uses a hard N word when he's talking behind the scenes.
Oh yeah,
he's terrible.
It's all good. He's a horrible human being, but so is Josh Allen. Let's get him out of here. Yeah. What's your score prediction?
Yep. Let's do.
We don't need to talk about injuries, bro.
Everyone's hurt, man. You're right. 21-17. Kansas City, unfortunately.
You think there's going to be that many points scored? That's more points than degrees.
Yeah, no, I really think like you're going to see it's going to be like backyard football style. But yeah, I do. I think our lack of special teams will probably cost us field position where they have like 40 yards to go and they can just dink and dime. And I think we're going to probably put ourselves in situations where we actually have to drive, you know, 70, 80 yards in that weather. So, yeah, I do think there'll be points scored. I think it's going to be a slow-paced game. But, you know, that's where – what do you think? I mean, give me the faith. I'd love to have it.
You know what? Let's get horny out here. Okay. Let's go 13-6 featuring 250-plus – Huggy runs.
Oh, okay, I thought you were gonna say field goals. I was like, you are a madman.
Nah, I'm talking about Raheem slips one for a sprinter and okay. A-Train slips one for a sprinter.
And we miss an extra point.
Yep.
Okay.
Defense holds tight.
Holds tight when they can drive to tie the game. It's like we're not. There's no shot we'll even be able to like sit for the last 10 minutes. We'll be all.
Yeah.
All right.
Just very very tight riches.
Yeah. Like, heart race. BPM heart rate will be in the 160s. Yeah. Okay.
And just to put myself on the same page as the boys, I'll turn my apartment AC down as low as it can possibly go. It'll probably still be cold outside, so I'll keep the door open too. Like.
I'll try to get myself Colt.
Yeah.
I'll be there. I'll be there with Christian and all of them fighting.
I love when they ask McDaniel, can you do anything to replicate the weather? He's like, yeah. Like, our building only gets down to 50 degrees. He goes, it's not even worth it. Like, what do you mean? Like, no offense. Like, I'm it's going to be fun, man. I don't know what I'm going to be sipping on. I don't know what I'm going to be eating that night, but I'm going to be in one. And I hope it's a fun night, at least for our team and our boys.
I hope it is too. This was a fun one.
Yeah.
So worst case, we got a good episode out of it.
I mean, but, you know, I one thing I will say, I hope, you know, you guys continue on in the off season and take it to, you know, get, as you know, we got some smart people in this group, and talk a little bit more about, you know, if things do go wrong tomorrow, where do you think, you know, we can improve in the off season? Love to hear more of that analysis from you guys, especially we actually have a first and second round pick this year. So we actually can talk a little draft leading up, maybe. So, but that's win this week, right? Let's do it.
Let's catch a dub. And you want to talk about first and second? When you were talking about third receivers earlier, my brother Jarvis Landry was a second rounder.
Yeah.
If we hit on another guy like that right now, this offense is insane. A-Train was a third rounder. So we can hit on skill guys without using a first rounder. That first rounder, man, please get me a center.
You want
to we'll
center?
Talk about that
you
later.
You want to center the front?
Yes.
You're so bold. I love it.
Yes.
All right, buddy.
Yes. We were banging the table for Creed Humphrey many moons ago.
I know, but I don't know if there's a first-round center in this draft. But we'll talk about it when we get there.
We'll get Mick in shape. He's ready to go.
All right.
But once again, thank you for joining us. If you're listening, make sure you follow the whole squad. You want to drop your Twitter handle for us? That way I don't butcher it.
Yeah. It's just Where Is Zach? Or at ZWare1. Excuse me.
Look at that. See, he butchered himself.
I know, I butchered myself.
This stuff is not easy. Ouch makes it look easy. Make sure you follow him at YFinsYY on Twitter. Follow the show at Day One Dolphins. Follow me at Chief Sut on basically everything. Let's go get it. Playoffs, baby.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team.